Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey, before I begin today, I just want to draw your attention to these awesome looking cards on your seats. They're all available there. You can grab some more outside on your way out as well. These cards are not for you. These are invitation for your friends. So make sure use every opportunity you have to invite your friends, especially if they don't know God, they don't know Jesus. Invite them to come to church. Tell them, hey, our church is different. We're going to celebrate Father's Day. We're going to have food. We're going to have entertainment and whatnot. Please come. So make sure you pray and ask God who you can give this invite to, okay? It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. Make sure you buy your father a present, all right? Jaden, wherever you are, make sure. Hey, I want to tell you a story about little Lucas who struggled big time with his studies, especially with math. And his parents tried to help him, but no matter what they did, nothing worked. Lucas always struggled with his studies and especially with math until the parents thought, okay, last ditch effort, we're going to move Lucas to the local Catholic school. So that's exactly what they did. They moved Lucas to the local Catholic school. And on the first day after coming back from school, Lucas, with a stern face, with a serious face, stormed back into the house. Didn't even greet his parents, went straight to his studies, went straight to his room, and studied for the next 3 hours until before dinner. And the next day, he did exactly the same thing. Came back from school, stern face, studied for 3 hours, and when the first term ended, he brought back his report card. For the first time in his life, he got an A+ for math. And his parents were shocked, pleasantly surprised. And they asked Lucas, "Lucas, well done, son. We want to ask you, what made the difference in this Catholic school? Was it the nuns? No," Lucas said. "Was it your friends? No. Was it your teacher? No. Then why the sudden change?" And then Lucas said, "Mom and Dad, the first day I went to that school, I saw a man nailed to a plus sign, and I know they meant business, so I better go home and study hard because I don't want to be nailed to the plus sign, especially for math." Anyways, hey, welcome to the last installment of Parenting in the 21st Century. If you are here for the very first time, don't worry, we're going to get you caught up real quick. But as Peter said, if you missed the last 3 weeks, you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch it from there. This series is for everybody, not just for parents, but for would-be parents, grandparents, teenagers also, because everybody has an opportunity to make a better environment for our next generation. You know, we all have influence on parents, and that's why it's important for us to actually talk about this, all right? We started this series by saying and by encouraging you to not give up on the ideal, even though the reality of your life may look very different. For some of you, I know the reality is you are a single parent. The reality is you've been divorced. The reality is you have a blended family. The reality is you are struggling with parenting your children. But just because you live in the real world, it doesn't mean you should give up on the ideal. That's why I love Jesus. I love Christianity because Christianity is the real deal. Jesus is the real deal. You see, Jesus, even though he always upholds the truth, he actually never dumbed down the truth or the ideal, but guess what? He also never turned down the grace. Jesus never condemned anyone who fell short of the ideal. So I want to tell you right now, I want to encourage you. Jesus is not condemning you. Maybe you think you're a bad parent. Maybe you think, you know, this is it. I'm going to give up now. There's no point for me to continue. I'm telling you, Jesus is for you. He is on your side. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. What matters is the future. And I'm telling you, Jesus wants you to do better. Jesus knows that you can do better. And guess what? His grace will always be enough for you. And the bottom line for this whole series, if you forget everything else that we mentioned, I believe the bottom line is this, that your behavior as a parent, not your parenting skills, not your theology, but your behavior as a parent will determine whether or not your children will respect you and want to be like you. And getting the respect of your children is very, very important because that's how you can influence them. If you have their respect, you can influence them. But if you don't have their respect, guess what? You cannot influence them. And when they're older, they don't even want to be like you. No matter how good you are with parenting, it's how you treat them. It's how you behave toward them that makes the most difference in your children's life. If you forget everything else, get this very point, which is why, right? Which is why, this is the reason why the secret to parenting is to love our children as Jesus has loved us. Jesus never gave us specific tips and tricks on parenting. He gave us the general principle because this general principle has a lot to do with your behavior, right? How you treat one another, especially how you treat your children. And we thank God that several years later, even though Jesus didn't specify what this love should look like, the Apostle Paul actually specified for us, gave us the love handle, if you like, on what the brand of love of Jesus looks like in everyday life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love passage, Paul says this, that love is patient. Love is patient. That means love chooses to move at our children's pace rather than requiring them to move at our pace. You know, when you move at different pace, you're going to leave your children behind. That is true physically, that is also true emotionally, spiritually, and relationally as well, which is why parents, let me encourage you, you know, I know you want to push your children to do better. You should do that, but don't push them too hard. Don't run too fast, because when you do, you're going to leave them behind. They're going to get disheartened and they're going to stop trying because they can't keep up with you. You know, God is not finished with them yet. I was watching a television series with my wife the other day. There was this black man, you know, who was testifying for his grandson who was caught doing the bad thing, you know, and he said, but the good Lord wasn't done cooking him yet. You know, the good Lord wasn't done cooking him yet. And I trust him, and he did get better. You see, you gotta move at the pace of your children. You can't expect them to behave like an adult because you are an adult, you know, but they're still being developed, so be patient. Love is patient. And then next we talk about love is kind. Kindness is loaning your children your strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. And this is super important, right? Because guess what? The world is doing a great job at reminding your children of their weakness. You don't need to help them, okay? Instead, you need to be your child's biggest cheerleader. You really do. Especially, this is very important again, parent, the older they get, listen, the older they get, the more important it is for you to be their cheerleader. You know, we are so good at being our kids' cheerleader when they were younger, right? We encourage them, you know, even though they stumble when they learn to walk, we say, whoa, so good. Well done. You walk really well. I remember one time when Jaden was little, he showed me a drawing and I said, Jaden, that's a wonderful chicken, Jaden. It's a tiger, Dad. Of course it's a tiger. What am I talking about? That's a wonderful tiger, Jaden. You know, we are so good at encouraging our kids when they were younger, but when they get older, as they become a teenager, the criticism starts to come, right? The ridicule starts to come. You know, the sarcasm starts to come. And that's not on, you know? The world is already doing that to your children. You need to be the biggest supporter, especially when they get older. Parents, remember that, okay? Doesn't mean that we don't point them out for their weaknesses, for the mistakes they make. I mean, we are parents, we are there to guide them. But remember this, I talk about this before. You need to learn to separate who they are, which is their identity, from what they do, which is their behavior, all right? You point out the behavior that you want to correct, but don't make it their identity. Let me give you an example. You know, from early on, I never actually called Jaden naughty because that is identity, okay? But did he ever do naughty things? Of course, you know, every kid does, right? So when I catch him doing naughty things, what I told him is, Jaden, you're a good kid, but what you did was very naughty. And you know, that's not good. So, you know, we don't mix up their behavior with their identity. Can you imagine if every single time Jaden did something wrong, I always say, Jaden, you're so naughty. Jaden, you are naughty. You are naughty. You are naughty. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to make that his identity. I'm naughty. And guess what naughty kid does? Naughty kid does naughty things. So he will think it's normal for me to be naughty because my dad keeps calling me naughty. That's who I am. He will make it his identity, and then you're going to be in trouble when they do that. So never call your children lazy. Never call your children liar, for example, because that's identity. You tell your kid, hey, you always tell me the truth, but how come you lied? You know, so make sure you separate their identity from what they do. And then, we talked about this last week. Chitra did such a great job. I want to encourage you to go back and watch the message again if you haven't. Love does not dishonor others. Honor is much, much more superior than obedience. Obedience is the lowest common denominator. You don't want your kids to just be obedient, all right? That is not a good foundation for a relationship. Can you imagine? You talk to your friends about your wife. I love my wife. Why? Because she's obedient. Try that. See if you're not going to sleep in the dog's house tonight, right? You know, obedience is not a good foundation for a relationship. Honor is. Because then you can talk to your children about their behavior. Hey, that is not honoring. That is not respectful. You know, what you did is disrespectful. It's not honoring. So every single thing is not just about morality. It's not just about what they do wrong, but we're trying to honor and respect one another. All right? And we're going to move on today as we conclude the rest of the statements that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting from verse 5. Paul says, love is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Now, these two, believe it or not, is very connected. There's a comma there. Love is not self-seeking. In other words, love should be others-seeking. But the truth of the matter is, we are all selfish people. Aren't we? We are all selfish people, including me. I'm a pastor, and I'm the first to admit to you, I'm very selfish. We all are very selfish. That's why Paul encouraged us, hey, now that you experience the love of Jesus Christ, I want you to develop this new brand of love in your life. Love is others seeking, not self-seeking. And love is not easily angered. Now, the Greek word for anger, it's actually a cooking term. It means to stir up. It means to stir up. You know, like when you stir up peanut butter, sometimes the oil goes to the top and you want to eat this peanut butter. So you stir up that peanut butter so that you can get the good bit to the top, right? When you stir soup, for example, you want to get the meat underneath. You want to get the veggies underneath at the bottom. You stir that soup. You're not adding new ingredients to the mix. You're just simply surfacing what is already there. Let me ask you, parents, how many times, okay, or do your children stir up the anger in you? Okay, we all should raise our hand. But I want to tell you something that you might find surprising. Do you know that your children don't really make you angry? Your children don't make you angry. All right? They can't do that. You make yourself angry. You will reveal what is already inside of you. All right? Let me give you an example. I read this the other day. Imagine it's a good day outside and you're holding a cup of coffee because it's a beautiful day and someone accidentally bumps into you, causing you to spill half of your coffee. Now, let me ask you, why did you spill your coffee? The obvious answer is, because this idiot bumped into me, that's why I spilled my coffee. If this idiot had not bumped into me, I wouldn't have spilled my coffee. And that would be a good answer. That would be the obvious answer. But that's not really the real answer, is it? Why did you spill your coffee? Because the reason why you spilled your coffee is because your cup was full of coffee. If your cup had been full of tea, you would have spilled tea, right? If your cup was full of lemonade, you would have spilled lemonade. One more time so that you get it. If your cup was full of water, you would have spilled water. That's right. So what really caused you to spill that coffee? Because you're bringing a cup that is full of coffee. Now, you might push back by saying, yeah, but if that idiot hadn't bumped into me, I wouldn't have spilled anything, whatever it is in my cup. But come on, let's be realistic. In life, is it possible to not have anyone bump into you? In life, is it possible to not have anyone stir you? In life, is it possible to not have your world turn upside down? Is it realistic to expect a world like that? The answer is no. The answer is no. So, whatever it is that is already inside you, it will come out when others stir you up, right? If you are already angry and frustrated, that's what's going to come up. If you are anxious, that's what's going to come up. So again, let me tell you, your children don't make you angry. They just stir up or bring to the surface what's already inside you. All right? And what's inside you? Paul told us what's already inside of us. That's why when you read the Bible, you know, don't read it too fast. Read it slowly. See the connection between phrases because that's very important. Paul says what? Love is not self-seeking. The reason why you are so angry is because all of us are self-seeking. We want others to do what we want them to do. It's also about us as much as it is about them. Maybe it's more so about us. We don't get what we want because we want our kids to be obedient, right? We want them to play well with their siblings. We want this, we want this. And when we don't get what we want because we are selfish, because we are self-seeking, we become angry. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, confirmed this truth through for us when he said this in James 4, verses 1 and 2. I preached from this many, many years ago. What causes fights and quarrels among you? What causes this anger to come from you? See, James, he didn't even know you when he wrote this, but he knows this to be the universal truth. What causes fights and quarrels and anger among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle from where? Within you? What does that look like? It looks like this. You desire, you want, but you don't have. You desire your kids to listen to you, but they don't listen to you. You don't have. You desire your kids to be respectful, but they're not respectful. You desire your children to play well, to study hard, but they don't listen to you. You don't have what you want. That's why you quarrel and you fight. You get so worked up, you know, oh man, they stir up the anger in me and that just comes out, right? Now, why is this important? Why is it important for us to know? It's important because then it helps you realize before, you know, maybe you are stressed at work, maybe there's a lot of things going on in your life, you know, it's not even fair to your kids. Besides, when you can't have perfect children, right? Nobody is obedient 100% of the time. Even you are not obedient 100% of the time. Even you are not on your best self 100% of the time. So maybe it's because you are stressful, maybe because, you know, something going on in your life. And before you get that bad words out that make you regret saying them, why don't you just stop? Take a deep breath, because you realize the reason why I'm angry is because I don't get what I want. So here's what I want you to do. This is a good tip for everybody. You should say this before you're about to lash out on your kids, right? Before you're about to say that thing that you know you are right, say this: hey, I know what the problem is. I am not getting what I want here. I'm not getting what I want. I want them to listen, and they don't listen. Hey, I know what the problem is. I'm not getting what I want. And when you say that, suddenly, maybe the temperature will go down a few degrees, and then you stop saying those mean, hurtful words that you want to say, all right? Parents, actually everybody. This is also true for any relationship, by the way, between husbands and wives. You know, this is true also. Before you fight, before you say those mean words, you know, stop and say to yourself, hey, I know what the problem is here. I'm not getting what I want. I want my wife to do this. I want my husband to do this, but they're not doing it, so I don't get what I want. So it helps you to cool down a whole lot more than if you had just blurt out whatever it is that you want to say and the ugly inside you comes out and you regret it, right? So on the count of three, why don't we say this out loud? And the hey is very important. You got to say the hey, okay? The hey is the key here. All right, on the count of three, say it out loud together. One, two, three. Hey, I know what the problem is. I'm not getting what I want. Doesn't that make you feel better already? By saying that one more time, one, two, three. Hey, I know what the problem is. I'm not getting what I want. Oh, man. Am I expecting my son, my daughter, to be like Jesus, to be perfect all the time? That's impossible. Maybe you're expecting too much from your husband, from your wife, that only God can do, you know? You're not getting what you want. But then again, you are in the same boat. So it is important for you to slow down and recognize. Like, you know, parenting is very emotional, right? Parenting is very emotional. Why is it emotional? Because you care and because you are selfish, right? We care on the other hand, but we're also selfish at the same time. And sometimes, you know, we say those words that we don't really mean. And when you do, I want you to apologize to your children because they don't deserve it. Right? I mean, if you talk like that to another adult, they will chalk it up as you having a bad day and said, man, you know, what's wrong with you? But our kids can't say that. When you are angry with your children and you talk to them the way that you wouldn't talk to another adult, they wouldn't think, what's wrong with you? Guess what they will think? What's wrong with me? Right? What's wrong with me? Am I that bad? And then guess what? You don't want that from your children. You don't want them to feel that way. So make sure if you, by accident, say something mean that you don't really mean, just apologize to them. Talk to them about processing this anger thing, because guess what? If your children can stir up the pot in you, guess somebody else can also stir up the anger in them, and they need to learn to deal with the situation as well. A child psychologist said this. This is very good. She said, Eli Leibovitz, it is scarier for a child to have a parent who is struggling and doesn't talk about it versus a parent who is struggling and does talk about it. It's very important for you to tell your children that, hey, you're not a perfect parent yourself, that you are processing this together with them and they can process their emotion together with you as well. So love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Or you can say it this way. When love is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. So make sure you watch what is inside your heart. And then Paul continues. He said, love keeps no record of wrongs. See, don't keep bringing up past mistakes on your children. I mean, you are already on an elevated position as a parent when you tell them the things they've done wrong, you put yourself even more on an elevated position, and that's not good, right? I mean, you don't want people to remind you of the things that you've done wrong in the past. You don't want your spouse to bring up your past mistakes. You know, you shouldn't do it to your children as well. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, God keeps no record of wrongs on your wrongs as well, right? Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west. That's how far God has removed your transgressions from you. If you're not a Christian, that's the good news. You know, God does not keep record of wrongs. Every wrong we've ever done has been nailed to the cross. God does not have a videotape of your life, of your past mistakes, all right? When I was younger, my youth group leader, you know, scared me to death by telling me, "Be careful, Daniel, because when you die, God is going to play back the videotape of your life, all the secret, dirty, vile things that you've ever done. God is going to show it for everybody to see." I said, "Whoa, I better be careful. I don't read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Actually, God has no such videotape because God keeps no record of wrongs." Anyway, let's continue. 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love loves to catch your children doing the right thing, all right? You don't delight in catching your children doing bad things, all right? Some parents I know, they even trap their children to, to doing the wrong things. And, aha, gotcha, I know I'm right. You see, don't do that. You need to side with your children. Remember, listen to the past 3 weeks' messages, all right? You need to side with your children. If they make mistakes, act surprised, like, "Oh no, you know, I didn't think you were going to do that," you know? So be on their side, you know, catch them doing right, honor them. Remember, what is rewarded is repeated. You know, reward them, shower praises, catch them doing the right things. Make it a point, like, "Well done, son, for doing that. Well done for talking to that boy. Well done for saying sorry." You know, catch them doing the right thing and they will keep doing it. Love rejoices with the truth. And I think, how do you protect without being overprotective? Okay, this is a very important question that all the parents want to know. How can you protect them? Okay, because we haven't talked about this, haven't we? Love always protects. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself because of time. But we got this, okay? Love always protects. That means you defend your children. You keep the bad things out. How do you do it in today's age with friends and social media and all that? How can you be protective without being overprotective, right? Let me give you a couple of tips. Number one, err on the side of too much, too protective, rather than too little. Let me tell you, okay? Because it's easier for you to give freedom slowly rather than taking away freedom from them. So if you have to err, try to be balanced because, again, your behavior is very important, right? It's not just the rules. You want your children to respect you. But if you have to err, err on the side of too much, too restrictive, rather than too little, and then slowly release more and more freedom. And number two, related to this, give freedom not according to age, but according to maturity. Don't tell your children, "You're going to get a mobile phone when you're 15. No, if they're not mature at 15, don't give them mobile phones. All right? You tell, "I'm going to do this when I see that you can handle it." So it's not up to the, it's not because of the age, but because of maturity. So in conclusion, as we wrap this all up, there are no such thing as perfect parents, no such thing as perfect families, no such thing as perfect kids, right? You don't want a perfect kid. If your kid is perfect, they will struggle being with you because you're not a perfect parent, okay? And let me ask you this, if you have a choice, which one would you rather have? Perfectly obedient children who don't enjoy being with you, or typical children who got into typical trouble, but they enjoy being with you? Which one would you rather have? Of course, if you can have both, it's better. But if you have to choose, which one would you choose? I would choose for my children to enjoy being with me and want to be like me. That's why raise your kids in such a way that they would enjoy being with you when they no longer had to be. Because when they're 18, when they grow up, they don't need to be with you anymore. They don't need to call you. They don't need to do all those things. But if you do your job right now, guess what? When they don't have to be with you, they want to be with you. When they don't have to call you, they will call you. When they don't have to spend time with you, they would love to spend time with you because they respect you, they enjoy being with you. That's why, let me say it again for the final time, your behavior as a parent now toward them, not your skills, not your parenting skills, not your theology, your behavior as a parent now will determine whether or not your children will enjoy being with you and want to be like you. And final slide for the whole series. The most significant thing you do may not be something that you actually do, but it may be someone that you raise. And I know with God's help, you can do it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.